Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this evening's message is our Passion reading from the Gospel of Mark, and we will be focusing on this verse. But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. If you ever watch a trial, you actually expect things to go a certain way. You expect the plaintiff to bring charges against the defendant. You expect him to make reason arguments for his guilt or her guilt. And you expect the plaintiff to mass a ton of witnesses and a ton of experts to build their case. You expect that. You also expect the defendant to challenge all of it, to tear their case to shreds, to show that their client is innocent. You expect the judge to oversee everything, to make sure everything runs smoothly, to hopefully make sure that everything is fair here. And you expect the jury to, well, to be impartial, to actually listen to both sides, and therefore to make the right verdict. We expect these things, but trials are interesting not because of the things that we expect from them, but because of the unexpected things, that piece of evidence that suddenly surfaces, that key witness that comes forward, that revelation that's made on the stand that just changes the direction of the whole trial. Oh yeah, these are the things that make trials interesting. This is what we expect from a trial. So what do we expect from the trial of Jesus? I'm sure many of us here have been down this path many, many times before. We've heard this account, Jesus before Pontius Pilate, and so we expect certain things to happen, right? We expect the religious elite to say, we got to get rid of Jesus, so they turn him over to Pontius Pilate, and then they rail against Jesus. They hurl all kinds of false accusations at Jesus, none of which are true, but they're trying. And then we expect Pontius Pilate to act as he does, to ask that question, are you the king of the Jews? And then try to release Jesus because he's like, I don't think so. This guy here, he's not a threat to my throne. You know, they're just, it's out of envy that they're turning him over. But we also expect, right, we expect that he's going to release Barabbas and not Jesus. And then we expect things from Jesus as well. We expect him to just stand there passively. But then he starts making ironic statements about this whole trial, once again, through his words, his very simple words, just showing his innocence, even as he is sent to the cross. But we do not expect his silence. Listen again. But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. That word amazed there, it meant he was utterly astounded. He was confounded by this Jesus standing. He was in shock. His head was spinning. His jaw was dropping at his silence. And so are we. It's not because we think Jesus should be begging for mercy, or we think that Jesus should be shouting in defiance here. It's not that we expect him to, you know, just say something, say anything, Jesus. It's because this is the King of the Jews. This is our King. This is God in the flesh, and he is not acting like we expect him to. Where is the God that taught with all kinds of authority? Where is the God that cast out demons, that healed diseases with just the word? Where is the God that revealed the hypocrisy of sinful humanity? Where is this God? It ain't this guy who's standing right here. God is not acting like we expect him to. Wow. How our expectations of God can change. For example, in 2005, there was a book that was put out that kind of sent a ripple throughout society, and at least in Christian circles, it's still kind of being felt today. It's a 2005 book called Soul Searching by some sociologists named Christian Smith and Melina Denton. And they did some research on the state of faith among American teenagers. And they came to some pretty interesting conclusions. And what they described, and maybe you've heard this term before, what they described is that their belief is termed moralistic therapeutic deism. Anybody ever heard of this before? No? Okay. It's kind of a civil religion kind of thing. It's got many tenets to it. But what was most interesting was what the teenagers expected from God. One of the major tenets of this faith is that, well, the goal in life is to be happy and to feel good about yourself. And God is supposed to step in and accomplish this. But then on the other hand, they also said that, well, God is supposed to do this only when I'm in trouble. Otherwise, he's supposed to just be this kind of grandfather in the sky, you know, in his rocking chair, just watching us until something bad happens. Then I'll step in and make them happy and give them what they want. Now, this came from a sociologist perspective, but from our perspective, we can see where this is coming from. And we can see that it doesn't just affect American teenagers, it affects a good portion of Christians. You see, our expectations, they can become warped. Our expectations of God and how he acts in the world, in our lives, can become warped through our own sinful, selfish wants and desires. Okay, sure. How about this? God is a God of comfort, right? But if that's true, therefore we expect him to make us feel good about ourselves. How about God is a God of power? Well, that's true, right? But if that's true, therefore we expect him to prevent any kind of suffering or pain in our life. God is a God of provision. He provides for us. Okay, that's true. But if that's true, therefore we expect him to give us what we want to be happy, to have a good life, a comfortable life. And of course, our favorite, God is a God of love. And we know that. But then again, if that's true, we expect him to accept us, to tolerate us, even if we sin. This is what we expect from God in our sinful, selfish desires. And yet, oh, look at that. God doesn't act the way we expect him to. Look at that. Huh. I still feel bad about myself, and I still feel bad about my deficiencies or my failures. Huh. I still suffer. I still get sick. I still maybe lose some income. Maybe a loved one goes away. Huh. Look at that. I don't get what I want while others do. And look at that. I still sin. I still fail. I still hurt others. Oh, and look at that. They don't accept it. They don't accept me. Now, see, if we expect God to act in this way, and then he does not act as we expect him to, can you just feel that anger and disappointment just coursing through you? And you're like, hey, God, what is going on? I expected you to act this way. How can I trust in this God? How can I love this God? Why? Why should I love and trust in this God above all things? Why? Because God is silent. He does not say a word as he stands on trial. He does not say anything, much to the amazement of Pontius Pilate. Because God acts in ways that we do not expect. Oh yeah, we expect Jesus to defend himself, but instead, the silence of Jesus fulfills all prophecy. Like a lamb being led to slaughter, he opened not his mouth. And like a sheep before the shearers is silent. Oh, we expect Jesus to put everyone in their place. Let's get done with this charade here. But instead, Jesus fulfills the Father's will, that the Son of Man must suffer. It is necessary for the Son of Man to suffer and to be killed and to rise again. We expect Jesus to act the way we want him to act, but instead he acts the way he wants to act, condemned to die, beaten, mocked, and killed on a tree. But it is right there that God does something that we do not expect at all. He dies for our sin. He sacrifices himself for you and for me. He silences his own voice so that the Father can then speak to you and me, you are my child. You are forgiven. This gift of love and forgiveness from God and Jesus Christ, and this comes to us in ways that we don't even expect at all. Some water? Bread, wine, words spoken to us on the pages of the Bible, on a post on Facebook or Instagram, from a pastor, from a fellow brother and sister in Christ? That's unexpected. Oh, and then again, I did not expect that just these simple words will have so much power and comfort and love and provision in my life. Yeah, Jesus may have been silent, but it was all for you, all for your good. It's just not what we expected. So give up your expectations. Give up your expectations of how God is supposed to act, and instead trust in his ways that are revealed through his Son, through his Word, even if they're not expected. And I'll tell you what, I've seen this throughout my pastoral career. And the only way you can do this is by focusing on Jesus, on the cross he died on the empty tomb that he stepped out of. You may not always feel good about yourself, but through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God gives you a comfort that is beyond your feelings. Yeah, you may still suffer in this life, but through the cross and the empty tomb, God shows his perfect power in weakness. Yeah. Things may go bad. They may go really bad for you. But I'll tell you what, in Jesus Christ, you have that provision. You have that love. You have it, even in the trials of life. Because let's face it, when you're watching a trial, you expect things to happen. You expect things to go a certain way. But these trials, boy, they can shock you. They can make your head spin. They can make your jaw drop. But in the midst of all of these unexpected feelings and suffering and sin that invades your life, God does something unexpected. He sends His Son to die for you, to rise for you, to make you His own, so that now and always you can expect His love every day. Amen.